Last week, JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon was asked about the recent high-profile bankruptcies of Tricolor Auto and First Brands, and he famously replied, "When you see one cockroach, there are probably more." Well, let me introduce you to one. This is Bankim Brombat. He's the CEO of Carryx Capital, who just filed for bankruptcy with up to $1 billion in liabilities. And much like Tricolor and First Brands, this is another example of collateral fraud and private credit, just in time for all of these alternative assets to be dumped into people's IRAs, 401ks, and pensions. What's up, guys? I'm Nobody Special, and this story began back in August with this one in thestreet.com, Broadband Telecom's Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing. Broadband Telecom, a telecommunications company, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in the Eastern District of New York on August 12th. The Garden City, New York-based company reported assets between $10 million and $50 million and liabilities between $50 and $100 million. All right, so right now, the story's not that big. We've got this telecom company. They build cell towers and they finance them. But $50 to $100 million in liabilities, this isn't the end of the world. The company has between 200 and 999 creditors. Okay, we're getting a little worse now. And the company filed simultaneously with four affiliated entities, BB Servicer LLC, Bridge Voice Inc., Carryx Telecap LLC, and Carryx Towercap LLC. The filing indicates that funds will be available for distribution to unsecured creditors following the bankruptcy proceedings. All right, so we've got several affiliated companies all under the same umbrella. They're all filing bankruptcy together. But again, this one doesn't look so big, $50 to $100 million. At least not yet. And then 2 days ago, on October 21st, things took a turn for the worst in a big way. Factoring firm affiliate files Chapter 11 up to $1 billion in liabilities. BB Capital SPV LLC, an affiliate of an invoice factoring company, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on Monday, according to court documents. Now, this is the second bankruptcy in a couple of weeks involving factoring. Remember, that was a big role in the First Brands bankruptcy. Estimated total liabilities, $500 million to $1 billion. Estimated total assets, less than $50,000. These guys are going to get nothing back. They are wiped out. Factoring providers Carryx Telecap and Carryx Towercap and telecommunications company Bridge Voice and Broadband Telecom were listed as affiliates to the debtor. Carryx describes itself as a specialty invoice financing company providing direct working capital to cell tower infrastructure construction. Creditors to the company include HPS Investment Partners and Alter Domus, the document showed. Put a pin in those names, we'll be back to that in just a minute. Now, as of the making of this video, there is precisely bupkis coverage of this story in the mainstream financial press. There's a couple of obscure websites have this behind paywall, but there's almost nothing about this anywhere else. I was able to find these documents related to that August bankruptcy case, and in these court filings, they describe the fraud that Bankim Brombat was engaged in. Let's read a little bit here. Through forged contracts with telecommunication companies, some of which Brombat personally signed, the creation and use of fake domain names for telecommunications companies, and the fabrication of email messages to look as if sent by the telecommunications companies, Brombat created an elaborate balance sheet of assets that existed only on paper. There's your collateral fraud once again. In this case, it's not the multiple pledging of collateral. This is the outright fabrication of fake collateral that Brombat then went and borrowed money from. The fraud continues today. This is as of August. The lenders discovered just recently that when telecommunications companies would pay certain receivables to the credit parties, the credit parties would divert those payments away from the lender-controlled collection accounts in violation of the credit agreement. So as these payments from these fake companies were supposedly being made, Brombat and his associates would real quick swipe that money out of the accounts so they never actually showed up in the payment accounts for the people who lent him the money. For two of the credit parties, the practice accounted for receivables payments over the span of 5 months that never reached the lender-controlled collection accounts, instead disappearing into accounts that the lenders cannot monitor or control. The money just vanished. In another example, funds held by the credit parties were transferred to offshore accounts in Mauritius and India during the last several months. The credit parties have also paid interest due on the loans with the proceeds of new borrowings under the loans in a circular and impermissible scheme, basically a Ponzi scheme. And when confronted with evidence of fake domain names and email messages, Brombach doubled down, fabricating new fake email messages in an obvious attempt to cover up this fraud. In July of 2025, Brombach's fraudulent scheme unraveled when the lenders discovered that much and perhaps all of the receivables pledged as collateral for the loans appears to have been fabricated. The lenders declared multiple events of default and immediately invoked the cooperation clause under the Bad Acts Guarantee. The lenders and plaintiffs' cooperation demands to Brombach were straightforward: provide contacts at the telecommunications companies, produce business records showing where the loan proceeds went, explain the transactions. Brombach controlled each of the credit parties and had access to the relevant information, yet he refused to cooperate, failing to produce a single telecommunications company contact, failing to provide any business records, and offering only evasive responses while apparently remaining overseas throughout the crisis. So now that we've established that Bankim here is completely full of Brombach, it's time to find out just who out there is unknowingly holding a big brown bag of Bankim Brombach's bullshit. Remember that court filing listed Alter Domus and HPS Investment Partners as two of the creditors, and those are two very big players in the private credit space. Alter Domus is a big player in private credit. They're based out of Luxembourg, and it turns out HPS Investment Partners hits a little closer to home because we got this one just a few months ago. BlackRock completes acquisition of HPS Investment Partners. Here we go. July 1st, 2025, BlackRock and HPS Investment Partners announced the successful completion of BlackRock's acquisition of HPS. Private credit is reshaping financial markets, and the structural trends supporting its growth have accelerated the convergence of public and private markets. Financing activity is being shifted toward the capital markets, positioning asset managers to match long-dated capital with long-term investors, including insurance companies, pensions, sovereign wealth funds, wealth managers, and individuals saving for retirement. Allow me to translate for you. Private credit is a bunch of fraudulent bullshit, and we are delighted to buy this company so we can park that fraudulent bullshit in this list of suckers who are going to own this stuff, which includes pensions, sovereign wealth funds, wealth managers, and of course, your 401k and your IRA. Now, aren't you glad that they democratized access to these alternative investments just in time for them to go bankrupt one by one in a series of isolated events, which seem to be happening on a daily basis now? Remember, guys, nobody saw this coming. So now that we've established that pretty much all of us are the bag holders in this situation, as was the case with Tricolor and First Brands and probably Primalend and all the other ones, let's take a look at Bankim Brombach's LinkedIn page and see, well, how widespread is this? And I can't help but notice right away, based on the LinkedIn page, maybe the first sign that Bankim Brombach was full of shit was the fact that the guy looks like he's permanently wearing one of these things. But I digress. In his LinkedIn page, Bankim says that he is the chairman of the BB Group, as well as Karyox Capital. Now, the BB Group draws a blank, but I was able to find these promotional materials for Karyox Capital, and you'll notice all the way up in the corner there, they say Karyox Capital, a Bankai company, and I'm pretty sure a Bankai company, that's the BB Group that Bankim Brombach was talking about in his LinkedIn page. And when I asked a hallucination-prone chatbot for a list of the Bankai Group companies, I got this result: Bankai Group Telecommunications, Bankai Infotech, Panamax Inc., Bankai Informatics, Bankai Labs, Zebu Blockchain Services, Blockridge Blockchain Services, Bankai Ventures, and Bankai Agrifood. This guy had his filthy mitts in just about every sector imaginable. And if he is conducting such blatant fraud in his telecommunications companies, then it's a good bet that everything on this list here is susceptible to that same fraud, which means there are almost certainly more problems lurking on the balance sheets of private credit firms, CLO securitizations, and of course, our retirement plans. So long story short, Jamie Dimon was right. When you see one cockroach, there are probably more. It's only been a few days since he said that, and we have found several cockroaches scurrying recently. Bankim Brombot here is just the most recent example. We still don't know if any banks or what other large institutions might be exposed to the fallout from this, but if there's $500 million to $1 billion of liabilities and virtually no assets whatsoever, then it's a good bet that the losses are going to be pretty widespread. And considering how many companies operate under the Bankai Group umbrella that this dirtbag controls, we're probably going to hear a lot more about this, and this is all just in time for all of this private credit and private equity garbage to be parked on the balance sheets of people's retirement plans as Wall Street uses our savings, our nest eggs, as a slush fund to bail themselves out. And on behalf of our friends in the financial press, I would like to remind everybody that much like the case of Tricolor Holdings, of First Brands, of PrimaLend, and of the case of the commercial real estate losses at Western Alliance and Zions Bank and a handful of other banks that have all popped up in just the last couple of days, I'd just like to remind everybody that this too is an isolated event. Till next time, live small and dream big.